Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the BasketBuds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Jay King. We got Josh Huestis. We've got Dave DeFore, Andrew Schleck producing. And guess what? We've got another banger of an episode. We will go into buy or sell. We will let Jay King lie about stuff that he's been watching. And we will break down first the player or team of the weekend. A big weekend, more in-season tournament action. We got nothing but gray courts the other night. Plus Jay, well, Jay, you just saw one of those courts in person. You just saw it's this, the Celtics have a green court with like a, it's kind of like a yellowish runway down the middle. What does that look like in person?
Vomit, disgusting vomit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just, I hate the courts. Everybody's mad at me because I'm just an old man yelling at stuff.
They're ugly.
But they're awful. And they're just, it makes it so much worse to watch a basketball game, which should be the only thing the NBA cares about, is making it better to watch a basketball game. Mm-hmm. But no, it's gimmick time. The Celtics wanted to have parquet on the floor and they wouldn't let them have parquet on like the little strip. I don't know why. That sounds stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dumb. We got a bunch of gray. We had a couple of gray on grays last Friday night. Just anything's better than, well, I guess we haven't seen the Lakers yellow yet, right? That comes up this week. We haven't seen, I don't think we've seen the Knicks orange, right? I don't think that's happened yet, which that'll be interesting with an orange ball. But so I can't quite say this with 100% certainty, but I do say anything is better than the red or the blue courts.
I disagree. The Phoenix Suns was the worst. They didn't even choose Phoenix Suns colors. They didn't even choose
bad.
The colors.
That's true.
Yeah, that was bad.
They had Pelicans like was bad to me, man.
Pelicans is
just awful.
Yeah, that was ugly too.
Spurs, well, bad. Everything.
Those are ugly ones, but the red is so like accosting. You know, the red like really attacks my eyes. Yeah, like I can deal with ugly. It's the oppressive visuals that just absolutely destroy me at times. All right. So, Jay, who is your player or team of the weekend?
The team of the weekend is the Rockets.
The team you pretend to watch.
To nobody's surprise.
Yeah.
The Rockets have won six straight.
Yeah.
The Houston Rockets have won six straight games. They knocked off the Nuggets. They're good. They're legit.
As someone who's pretending to watch them and champion them, what's your favorite part of the experience right now?
Why am I pretending to watch the Rockets?
Here's the thing. You were into the Kings take last year. Like last year you called, you said the Kings are going to make the playoffs. It's a good team, blah, 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 right? And every time, like second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, you're texting throughout like, oh, they're scoring on everybody tonight. No one can stop them. This year, you make this claim about the Rockets, which has unfortunately caused me to dislike the Rockets outcomes this past week. It has nothing to do with the Rockets. It's everything to do with you have made the Rockets annoying.
Because I'm gonna be incredibly right again. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true, but how I know you're not watching them is we've gotten maybe two or three texts this season, and they've all been after game. Josh, like, after. I'm not making this up.
Yep.
They've all been after the games.
Yes. Last night. Yep. Last night, I'm literally live streaming on my phone while you guys are texting me about how I'm not
clearly
watching.
Clearly not.
Live streaming on my phone while watching some not stupid Liam Neeson movie with my wife.
Wait, which
here's the deal.
Movie? Hold on.
Yeah, which one?
Which Liam?
So his son got killed by some cartel and he went after the cartel by himself.
That could be any of the ones made in the last 10 years.
I was literally just about to say it could be any Liam Neeson movie.
The perfect Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah.
But then it was they try to make it like dark humor. I don't know. There were a ton of really good people.
You gotta check out Memory. Memory is the one where he's a hitman who has Alzheimer's. It's great. There's also there's a little speech
isn't that just Memento?
It is, but like way less douchey. there's a scene where he goes and visits his brother who also has Alzheimer's, but it's like way more advanced, and talks to him about the Bucks winning the coin flip to draft Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Lou Alcindor at the time. It's a great little monologue that he's got there. Just a fantastic movie. Highly recommend it.
But remember, yesterday Jay was saying, as our texts were flowing in, he was streaming the game.
Right.
But all our texts came in after the game was over.
I can't reconcile that. I must have been on delay, but I swear to God, I was watching it and I waited till the end of the game.
Such a liar. Just such a liar.
Such an easily verifiable lie.
Yeah, it's so easy. Like, immediately.
What kind of man would lie about that and pretend he was watching a game that was already over? I clearly didn't know that it was already over because I was watching it on delay.
Here's the thing, and I'm trying to reconcile this within myself. I'm trying to be fair to the Rockets because they're fucking fun. They're fun. Like, Şengün is balling now. Like a mini Jokic out there. He's just been incredible. Jalen Green's been great during the stretch. Fred VanVleet was fantastic last night. Like,
Dylan Brooks has been ridiculous, man.
This is a fun team, and I truly enjoy watching them, except for the fraudulence that is coming from you, Jay.
There's no
fraudulence.
You didn't even bring up their defense, which is the most impressive part. They went from 29th in defensive efficiency last year to now they're up to 7th. And the communication is there. Like, they got guys fighting over screens. When they switch, it's beautiful. Ime Udoka came in, changed everything. Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks came in, changed everything. It's just a really tough team, and they're really sharp defensively. Like, they really don't miss many things that they're supposed to do.
Let me throw this at you, and I'm not doing it to dismiss anything. I just want to know what we do with this. The last 5 wins, right? Because they started this streak with Charlotte, which Charlotte's just, they suck. No Fox for those 2 games against Sacramento. The AD was missing from the Lakers game. What was it? No CJ McCollum in the Pelicans game, and no Jamal Murray last night against Denver. Does that do anything for you for the streak? Because to me, I do consider it I thought in the games against the Kings, I'm like, there's no Fox. Like, the Kings shouldn't get blown out like this, but there's no Fox. I'm not really going to pay, too much attention to the Rockets turning around. But for some reason, even though I think the Lakers aren't very good, when they put it on the Lakers like that, I was like, okay, maybe. And then they got out a close one against a Pelicans team that still had Zion and Ingram. I was like, okay, this is legit. And then watching the game last night, I was like, all right, shit. Like, whether Jamal's there or not, I just think this team is playing well enough to beat anybody right now.
And the most impressive part to me was just how they defended all of Denver's movement.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so hard to guard Denver, even without Murray. They just make you guard so much. Jokic, every pass is open to him because of what he sees and what he can do with the different arm angles. And they were so sharp about just taking as much of it away as they could. Jokic still had an enormous game.
Yeah.
But they were able to kind of not make him do what they wanted, but they were able to take away so much of the easy stuff that the Nuggets normally thrive on.
And Jay just, Jay would know this because he didn't watch the game, but Jeff Green was like incredible. I love when Jeff Green goes off, man.
Jeff Green, he's still doing it at however old he is.
60.
He's been 60 years old.
Still dunking on people. Rockets, fantastic, fantastic nomination for player or team of the weekend. Josh, who do you have?
I was going to choose the Rockets, but I knew Jay was going to pick them, even though, he, like you said, he hasn't watched them. So I was going the Wolves.
Outrageous
man.
Claims. Outrageous claims.
Accurate.
I'm going Timberwolves.
Yeah,
man. Big, dude. Win over San Antonio. Win over
also
Golden
won
State.
Six in a row.
Yeah, they're rolling right now defensively. They're legit. I was super hesitant. I think a lot of people were last year when Gobert and Towns got paired together. Like, how is this going to work? But I think they're finally hitting their stride on that a little bit. And I'm impressed with Gobert's mobility right now defensively.
Yep.
Like, he's everywhere. Right? He's chasing guys off the line, getting into help defense. Like, he's everywhere right now. And the fact that you can have him and Towns right running all over the court playing defense, help side, running guys off the line, like Towns chases him off the line, Gobert is waiting for you at the rim. Gobert chases him off the line, Towns is waiting for you at the rim. Like, they're legit right now, man. And I've always been a huge Mike Conley guy, and I think he's exactly what they need to run their team offensively.
Sucks, like, that he's been so bad with the basketball, because he had four turnovers against the Spurs the other night, and up until that game, he had a 30-1 assist to turnover ratio. 30.
That's crazy. Ridiculous, man. And
now he's up to six turnovers on the season. Just feels like he's, you know, just really giving it away.
The Gobert piece. The Gobert piece is the most transformative to me, because watching him last year, I thought his days as a defensive player of the year candidate were just done. I thought, like, he was still an impactful defender, obviously, to the rebounder. But, like, I didn't think he would reach the level that he's played at this year. He is playing just ridiculous defense right now. And I think they've gotten a lot better at using him, too.
Yeah, I think they figured that out, that part.
And they figured out kind of how to employ him. When they played the Celtics recently, like, they basically just kept him out of all the actions and just kind of used him as, like, he was just protecting the rim, and that's how you want. But he's also, when he's had to defend the arc, he's been super good at that too. And then they just have defenders around him too, like Kyle Anderson, McDaniels, Edwards. They have so much length, so much
Cat's playing okay defense too. Like, Cat's, you know, not it's not great. He's making mistakes, but he's at least competing consistently.
That's a legitimate team. They're for real, I think. At least regular season, that's a really, really good team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Somebody said they were going to win 50 games in the regular season and be a top four seed. Can't remember who it was, but it was some really incredible genius that's on the podcast. Said they were going to win 50 games. I don't know. We don't have to bog down in it.
Wasn't it's me. I thought they were going to stink.
Both of you are wrong, though. Both of you are wrong. It's not the Rockets, and it's not the Wolves. It's the Clippers, guys. You can have a bad team in the weekend. The Clippers are 0-4. They've lost five in a row. They're 0-4 with James Harden. Paul George down 11 points per game, shooting horribly during this. Kawhi Leonard down like 4 points a game, shooting okay during this. Russell Westbrook down across the board, true shooting percentage, all of his numbers. And in four games, James Harden is a minus 67 on the court.
Yeah.
Minus 67. Their starting lineup of the four of them and Zubats, minus 19.5 per 100 possessions net rating during this stretch. It, like, look there, Josh, you can speak to this, I'm sure. Like, acquiring a player midseason is tough, right? No matter whether it's beginning of the season, middle of the season, whatever, it's tough. And especially someone who changes so much of the usage like that, right? Like, that's gonna be tough, and you're gonna need some practice time, you're gonna need some reps. Harden even said, I need like a 10-game window because I haven't had a training camp or a preseason. This is my, you know, my first action. And I'm like, yeah, we're all trying to find the guy who set up this situation where he would be, you know, just played your first few games here. So it's all going to take some time, but it looks way worse than it should, even with that.
Yeah. I mean, what I noticed, man, I don't know if you guys see this. It almost looks like they're trying too hard to prove everybody wrong. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to prove it's going to work. See, we're going to move the ball. And honestly, it looks to me like they're overpassing at times. I think that they're overpassing at times. It's getting guys thinking too much. You know what I mean? Like I get the whole, hey, we want to make this work thing, but like guys got to play to their strengths. I think Harden's trying too hard to make it work. Like Paul's trying too hard to make it work. And then just the fact that like Kawhi needs the ball in his hands to score. Yeah. Kawhi is not a spot up shooter. That's not what he does. Right. Paul, you can make work as coming off screens, things like that. But Harden needs the ball in his hands to score. Russ needs the ball in his hands to score. Kawhi needs the ball in his hands to score. And they don't have spot up shooters around them. I think getting rid of Covington and Batum killed him, man, because those were two really good spot up shooters and great defenders that they just gave away.
And yeah, the
chemistry.
Losing to the Knicks wasn't bad. Losing to the Nets is justified. Like it's when they were getting smacked by the Grizzlies, and they worked their way back, and then couldn't close it out. And I'm looking at that game. I'm like, yo, you cannot be this incompetent against such a bad, battered team like the Grizzlies. It's like, I know they're playing better this week, but come on. Like, the Clippers should have run them off the floor.
Yeah, Harden's arrival has just kind of thrown everyone off stride. The entire team is just like, and you saw Paul George say, I was just trying to be a glue guy in the first half. Like,
you're not a glue guy.
That should not be your mentality.
Fucking Paul George. What are you doing? Yeah.
Nobody should try to make you a glue guy. Like that.
They're trying too hard to make it work.
And then the other piece that, like, one quote really caught my eye when Harden first arrived, and Ty Lue said he told Harden, when Russ is on the court, Russ needs to be the point guard. I was like, good luck. And sure enough, first game, like Harden's already dribbling it up, waving Russ off. I was like, I'm not sure. And I was optimistic going into it. I still think there's a world where Harden's court vision and his ability to set things up for guys ends up helping. But there's
whatever team he ends up on next will benefit.
I wonder if they're going to need to break up their starting unit, brings one of those guys, whether it's Russ, Harden,
it has to be Russ.
The bench,
it has to be Russ, right?
And just try to fix things that way, because I the early returns on all those guys playing together are just disgusting. They don't have enough energy on the court. Like, you need energy guys, and none of those guys are really like. I mean, Russ is kind of like frenetic, but not always in a helpful way. They don't have like the spot up guys. They don't have the guys who who want to be like screening and rolling and doing all the little stuff that you really need to do to be a good offense. It's an ugly mix right now.
And I was sold on the Clippers because of they had the scoring power, and then defensively they had all the pieces. Even their superstars. Even their superstars defensively, like Kawhi, obviously one of the better defenders ever, right? PG can absolutely lock up. And then with Covington and Batum, like I mentioned, like those guys were legit, man, like offensively and defensively. And it's just not, it's not the same anymore. It doesn't work. I think we'll give it some time, but I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think that 10 game window that Harden mentioned is fair?
Because I don't think you can learn in a game. Like, I know that's what the preseason's for. That's what practices are for. But like, as a former player, man, like there's not practicing right now.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what people don't realize. Like, what you might get a practice every 2 weeks,
maybe. And that's like, okay, we got a couple days here. But even then, you're going to use those couple days off to get treatment, rest.
Right.
You're still not going hard, right?
It's more like individual work at that point, right? Like, it's not like, not like, all right, 5-on-5 scrimmage for the next 2 hours. We're not, like, you're not doing that.
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, you might get up and down, run 5-on-0 offense for a little while, but without a defense to actually throw you a look at it, like, what are you actually learning from that situation? So, I don't know, man. I think they will give them time, but is 10 games too late? 10 games from now, like,
Like no, you said with the overpassing stuff, how they're showing they want to make it work. But you have to commit to the other stuff, like cut hard, like yeah. run in transition. And you can see Ty Lue after their latest loss kind of brought up all that stuff. He's like, we are showing them this. We are teaching them this. They're just not doing it. And Harden, I think, has always been a little slow to accept coaching on some of those fronts.
Yeah.
And I just feel like his arrival has just thrown everything off for them.
As a lazy person who never played in the NBA, I can tell you cutting hard is rarely worth it. It doesn't do anything. You just get the ball and jack up a shot. That's the way to go.
Well, who are their cutters in their starting five? Who's actually going to cut? I mean,
nobody. Russ, but Russ isn't a good finisher, right? Like, so I'm not sure what that does necessarily. I mean, Paul George maybe could be that kind of guy.
It's let's stand around and hope whoever has it kicks it out.
Kawhi's not a cutter. We know for damn sure James isn't a cutter. Like, that's not going to happen.
No.
I mean,
you want Zubats to cut?
From where?
Corner to short corner, baby.
They have Denver, Houston. They're at Denver tomorrow. Houston on Friday is a home game. They're at the Spurs for two games. Then they got home against the Pelicans, Mavs, Nuggets. They have the Kings, the Warriors. I mean, they've got a
that's
a brutal schedule.
It's like legitimately possible they win one game during that stretch.
You think they split with the Spurs? Probably. Like, I'm sure Wemby gets some.
Any other ones? Which other ones can you go like, yeah, they got a shot like with that stretch, man?
I mean, maybe the Pelicans are a mess right now, so maybe them. Yeah, but I don't know, man. It looks pretty bad.
That's a tough stretch. Yeah,
it's why I love the photoshops of who's stopping this, and it's just a shot of the Clippers.
Yeah. And it's sorry, just like but you're looking at them. That photo. Yeah,
yeah, you're looking. that's the one that's stopping them. All right, guys, let's get into some buy or sell. All right, let's start off with number one, buy or sell. Clippers ruined their team trading for Harden. Jay.
You know what? I wasn't on this side before the trade.
You've been saying it'll work.
I'm buying it right now. I am buying it right now.
Amazing.
They looked so good before the trade. And I'm still okay with the trade because I don't think they were good enough to win a title the way they were. They need to try, but man, it's so bad. So bad.
Josh, buy or sell? The Clippers ruined their team by trading for Harden.
I'm buying it. I think they had the formula. I think they had it all, and they just gave it away for star power, which it doesn't work. It just doesn't always work, and I think this is just a failed experiment.
I'm selling. I believe. No, I'm kidding. I'm buying. I didn't like the trade when it happened.
I was waiting for the description on that one.
What if I just said that and moved on and just never explained it? Yeah, I'm selling. No, I didn't like the trade when it happened. Like it was assets-wise, I got it. Like, it's a fine trade, you know, but I think I gave it a B- when it happened and for the Clippers side of it. And that's just because like there's so much talent coming in and so not so little talent going out, but like, you know, even to your point, Josh, about Batum and Covington, like those guys are at the end of their rope, right? Like those guys are at the end of their career, still can be valuable, but they weren't consistent enough. Right. Or at least Covington wasn't consistent enough for me. Batum kind of found his role. Marcus Morris, I'm just like, whatever. Like, he's good, but you can get rid of him. I think I was most upset about KJ Martin leaving the Clippers, even though he wasn't playing good. I just like KJ Martin, but like, I can recognize like asset for asset, it's a fine deal. But man, I didn't understand how that was going to work on the court. And it'll get better than this, I think. But I think the Clippers had a chance, if healthy, to win a title. And now I don't know if you can figure that out. I think there's just too many cooks, way too many cooks. I don't think that works out.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Buy or sell the Indiana Pacers as a top three team in the East. Josh.
Oh, man. I'm going to buy... I'm going to buy it because they look good. And honestly, the East is weaker at the top than I thought it would be.
Is this more about the Pacers or the Bucks for you?
See, I think it's more about the Bucks for me.
Yeah.
I think it's more about the Bucks for me. Like, the Bucks aren't looking good. And then it's, so you've got heavy at the top right there with the Sixers and the Celtics. And then what?
Right.
It's kind of like this race between, you know, Pacers, Hawks, Magic, Knicks, Cavs, who's going to kind of shake things, the Heat, right? I mean, it's kind of, there's a lot of parity there, but I think out of all of them, the Pacers have looked the best. So, yeah. I mean, but like you said, it's more about the Bucks right now that's getting them in the top three for me.
Jay, buy or sell, Pacers is the top three seed in the East.
I'm selling.
What?
Well, first of all, it was phrased as top three team in the East, not top three seed.
Oh, what? Okay, then top three team.
Either way, I'm selling it. Either way, I'm selling it. The their offense has been amazing. Halliburton is special. He brings everyone else to life. Neesmith has been one of the cooler early season storylines. His emergence.
Let me break this
with
down.
Top Josh, and Bruce Brown.
Josh, he said that simply because Neesmith used to be on the Celtics. That is, no one is around the league is like,
I said it because he was very bad on the Celtics.
That's a cool story so far. Aaron Neesmith's having a nice season for the Pacers. No one's been saying that. That's not
it's a cool story.
The Rockets, cool story. Like, this doesn't qualify.
Man is much improved. I just need to play defense. They're like 28th in defensive rating or 27th, whatever it is. And I just don't think you're going to end up third in the conference with that bad a defense. And maybe it gets better. Maybe, you know, Miles Turner covers up some things. Maybe they figure some stuff out. Carlisle has typically been, you know, a good defensive coach. But I just don't think their defense is good enough right now. much as their score.
I'm buying. I had them as the 4 seed going into this season. I'll move them up one. I like it. I love this Pacers team. They're so much fun. It reminds me a lot of last year's Kings team. Just a ridiculous offense, zero defense, fun point guard, fun role players that all seem to get it. Like, I'm all in on this Pacers team. I don't think they'll do anything in the playoffs, but they're a team that I have to watch every single time they're on.
And they've got a really good mix, right? Yeah. Like, they've got Hield and Neesmith as shooting and Turner too. They've got Halliburton who makes everything better for everybody. They've got Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin filling the lanes in transition. Like, it's just a really good mix on offense.
Hey, David, like, I don't know how we determine this, but just to catch the wave of cool conversation going on right now, to do some real SEO, let's just title this one Aaron Neesmith is going off, just to make sure we're at the tip of the conversation. And you know, I don't love clickbait stuff, but you know, SEO matters, clickbait matters. So we'll just to make sure everyone's, this is the story that everyone's talking about, is the cool story of Aaron Neesmith having a nice season.
He's emerging. Give the guy some credit. He dug himself out of being one of the worst players in the league, and now he's legit.
All right, buy or sell. Philly is the best team in the East. Jay.
So.
Maxey just went off for 50.
Yeah, that's cool. They're really good, and they're better than I expected. Mm-hmm. Maxey has been ridiculous. They're a much better team to watch now with Maxey instead of Harden. Like, I went and looked at the stats of like pace of offense last year, and they were dead last naturally. Maxey is just like, he brings a lot more pace. He brings just an energy that they didn't have last year. And part of that, I'm sure, is the way Nick Nurse is coaching. But part of it is just now it's in Maxey's hands instead of Harden's all the time. And I really like this team. I just don't think they're as good as the Celtics.
Josh, buy or sell?
Even though they didn't beat the Celtics.
Sixers. Best team in the East.
Sell. Second best team in the East. I'm with Jay on this. I think the Celtics are still the team to beat in the East. But number two, and then, like I said earlier, I think there's kind of a weird drop-off after that in the East right now, unless somebody like really separates themselves from the pack. But I love the pace of them, but yeah, just not on the Celtics level to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna sell as well, simply because even as fun as the Sixers team has been so far and as good as they've been so far, I'm just gonna withhold all that judgment or any of that like true praise until we see what the playoffs look like. Yeah. Because I mean, the Sixers were awesome last year in the regular season. Like, they were really good. Embiid was amazing.
They were
amazing.
Really good in the playoffs too, though. They had the Celtics on the ropes. Like, they were very close to reaching.
And then they didn't close it out, right?
Who knows what would happen against Miami.
If only I'd seen that James Harden story before. It's like watching Expendables. Like, you see them one, you see them all. It's always going to be that way. I hope the Clippers go up 3-2 in a playoff series this year. We're going to see the same shit happen. Like, it just... Like, I, you know, and also, I don't want to blame just on Harden. Embiid is not a good playoff player. Embiid has been bad in the playoffs. He's had like two, maybe three great playoff series in his career, and everything else, there's an excuse for it. And so that's the other thing. Like, he's got to come out and look. I don't think it's fair to say go do what Jokic did last year in the playoffs, right? But he's got to at least not be part of the reason they lose, because he's always part of the reason they lose.
He's so averaging close to 6 assists a game. How about
year?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can play. He's good.
MVP can play. Yeah,
the reigning MVP. Who knew? Yeah. All right. Buy or sell. Detroit is still, after 4 years of tanking, one of the worst teams in the NBA. Josh.
Buy.
Yeah.
Buy, man.
This team just sucks.
It's crazy because you look at the stats and they're middle of the pack in a lot of things.
It does, man. They suck.
They're middle of the pack in a lot of things, man. But then, like, I get to turnover. They're 29th in turnovers.
Yeah.
And they give up 22 points per game off their turnovers. Dead last. That's crazy.
That's
Yeah. That's 22 points a game.
I want to make sure I have the
turnovers,
right,
which is insane.
Yeah, man, that's
that's gross.
I'm
absolutely buying them as one of the worst teams in the league. However,
oh boy,
they had really bad injury luck so far.
Bogdanovic, this year,
one of their best players, hasn't played at all. Monty Morris, who would certainly help the turnover problem, hasn't played at all. They're playing Killian Hayes, big minutes.
You could have just said they're playing Killian Hayes. You didn't have to say big minutes. I
can't imagine that was the plan coming into the season.
Yeah.
So I want to withhold a little bit of judgment until they get real players. Alec Burks missed six games, and they've actually been really good with him on the court, which
because he's one of the few adults in the room. Like
Exactly. Right. But all their adults have been hurt. So yeah. I want to see them with the veterans that they brought on to kind of help Cade Cunningham a little bit.
So
much has been in his hands right now.
Yeah.
And in his hands with a supporting cast that cannot shoot because all the shooters have been hurt. Joe Harris, add him to that list. I just want to see what it looks like when they're healthy. They'll still be bad, but I don't think it's close to this bad.
My concern with Cade is, and this we saw this a little last year, but he only played like 12 games last year, but it's been really evident this year. He's shooting 46% from the field in the first half of games, 36% from the field in the second half of games. I don't know if that's teams adjusting and he doesn't know what to do there. The Pistons aren't helping him out. He's having to do too much and he tires himself out. He has asthma. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to like find reasons why he would be, because he looks so good in the first half of games, and in the second half of games, he just can't make a shot. And he's, you know, he's shooting 41% on like 20 shots a game. Like your decision maker has to be better than that. He either has to shoot less and be more of a playmaker, which I don't really know for who, or he's got to find ways to kind of balance out the rest of the game. But that's, to me, that's the biggest concern. Like, I knew they weren't going to be a good team, but he has not looked as good as I was hoping.
Yeah. And I will say, like, having no shooting around you hurts. The ability,
sure,
of a team can just send everything they have at him.
Yep.
And the worst thing that happens is he swings it to Killian Hayes, and Killian Hayes gets an open jump shot.
Right.
You're totally cool with that. Thompson has been playing a ton of minutes for them, and he's really good.
That is truly
he's really a worst talented, case scenario. And I love his game. But
oh, yeah, he's good.
Another total non-shooter that's playing a lot of minutes next to Cade Cunningham. So I think Cade, yes, the stats aren't there, and yes, like, you wish he was a little more advanced, even coming off a year where he was out, but it's really tough on him right now with the guys he's playing with.
All right, buy or sell. The Houston Rockets are ready to make the playoffs. Josh, you've been watching them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy this. I mean, I like how they look. I think that teams that I thought were going to be a real problem in the West this year have kind of fallen off a little bit. Like we talked about the Clippers, Lakers, Suns aren't looking like themselves, right? I think there's room for them to be there. The big question for me is, right, they're sharing the ball well, they're playing hard, all those things, but that's a lot easier to do at the beginning of the season than it is as you get deeper in the season. Right, guys start separating themselves, being the leading scorers, and then all of a sudden, jealousy begins to set in. Right at the beginning of the year, man, you have those meetings, and everybody's all preaching, "Yeah, we want to win a title, whatever it takes."
Unless you're the
whatever
Bulls.
It takes.
Yeah,
right. Let's just survive.
But we just got 81 more to go. Let's just get through this.
Everybody's all on board at the beginning of the season, man, but it gets a lot harder as the season goes on and jealousy starts to rear its head a little bit. Now, they do have some mature guys there, and I think Ime can kind of keep some things in check, but that's the question mark to me, is how they handle as the season goes on any jealousy or any issues internally that may pop up.
Jay, if you had watched the Rockets, do you think you'd be buying or selling this?
I'm buying the Rockets, man. It's kind of exactly what I predicted.
No, it's not. You said 40 wins. You said no playoffs.
That's fair.
So it's not exactly what you predicted. That is,
however,
the reason
why I thought the Rockets would exceed everyone else's expectations was because that group has a lot of tough dudes. They have a lot of athleticism on the wing. They have a lot of rugged guys who are very smart defensively. And you can build a vision out of that.
Quickly he bailed out of that lying about exactly what I predicted.
It's precisely what I predicted.
It's those easily everything that I predicted has come true.
So you've got them going, what would that be? 34 and 39 the rest of the way.
they might be better than I thought. They probably are better than I thought.
So nothing like you predicted.
Is Dylan Brooks actually going to have an efficient season? Their offense has probably overachieved to some extent right now. Like their point guard Fred VanVleet is shooting 38% from the field. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be much better than that because it was similar to that in Toronto last year. And I love VanVleet.
Yeah, I don't know if Dylan Brooks is
shooting 55%.
I don't know if this is fair.
That's not going to happen.
I don't know if this
is fair. I do think he's playing differently, though. And maybe it's because Ime is just on him about shot selection more so than Taylor Jenkins ever was.
I don't know if this is fair to like demote them with, you know. Is the shooting a product of changed habits and just like better play? Or they did like play the Kings twice. They played Charlotte. They played the Lakers without AD. Like the Pelicans are fucking mess defensively right now, you know, even though that was a low scoring game. Denver is not always great. Is it just like hitting the right stride? But then, I mean, Josh, like you could kind of hit a stride and if it, you know, if you can extend that stride long enough, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever that win streak ends up being, maybe that just becomes then your habits and your confidence in like this is the team that you mold yourself into.
Yeah, I was gonna say something similar to that. It's just like the guys they have on the team, especially a guy like Brooks, right, and younger guys, like they feed off that energy and they feed off the confidence of like seeing shots go in,
right,
and they're hitting right now, so their confidence is sky high. And so to go off what you said, like I think that just the longer they do it, it just is going to build their confidence more and more and more, and they're going to see it as their identity. And guys that like that, whose confidence can hang on, you know, a hot streak.
Yeah.
I think it just kind of builds a base for them that they're going to start seeing themselves as we're shooters. We hit shots. We score.
Right.
Like, we are that team. Right. This is us. We are that team. And so I think it's barring some just phenomenally bad crash offensively, that they could turn into that team.
This is potentially a dumb question, but I want to ask you as someone who's been in this before. Their next game is Friday at the Clippers, right? So great opponent to have right now, but Friday at the Clippers. Is that too much time off with how they're playing right now? Or do they then have chance to like go and practice and iron some stuff out?
It could possibly be too much time. I think I could speak for myself, like too big of a break was almost a detriment because I don't know if you guys are golfers, but like some people say that the more balls you hit at the range, the worse you're going to play beforehand. You know what I mean? So I think that the quicker you can just keep the ball rolling without taking the time to like have a chance to really sit and think about the game and overanalyze things like that, sometimes that can be better. So that almost might be a problem. It might be too long. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to such a long break, though.
I am buying, by the way. I don't know if they will, but I do think they're ready to make the playoffs. Number 6 on our list. Buy or sell, Jay, Minnesota and Dallas are top 6 West seeds by the end of the season.
Yeah. Minnesota's really good. They're really good. That team, they've won me over quickly. Just the brand of basketball they're playing, especially defensively. I love how they're playing defensively. And Dallas, too, like not as much defensively, but They're playing a little faster than they have. Luka looks fantastic. Grant Williams has been really good for them, and they needed somebody like that who could come in and be physical and play a little defense and knock down shots. Lively, you know, he's a promising rookie who has come in and given them productive minutes right away. Also, some of the teams I thought were going to be good in the West look like they stink. And yeah. And like that's the Lakers look like they might be not great.
So bad.
Even though they're winning a decent amount of games. The Suns are kind of a mess right now, and they've dealt with injuries, so that's part of it. But they're also not deep enough to really overcome injuries, which is going to be a problem for them. The Pelicans, I thought they were going to be pretty good with Zion back. I tabbed them into one of the teams that was going to be really competitive. They have not really looked like that too much. So, yeah, I definitely think these teams are legit.
Josh, buy or sell? Wolves and Mavs, top six.
I'm buying. Do I think they're going to stay at 2 and 3 like they are right now? Probably not. I think, especially for me, Dallas, I think they'll stay top six, but just as the season goes on, right, they're scoring the ball like crazy, but
yeah,
26th in rebounds per game and 24th in opponent points per game. I think that could kind of affect you as the season goes on. Tired legs, shots stop falling the same way. Top six, definitely. Don't think they'll stay 2 and 3, but I don't see who replaces them or knocks them out of top six. There's, like Jay was saying, there's just not teams we thought were going to be a problem this year just haven't proven themselves as contenders. So I'll keep them top half.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy. I'm not completely sold on this Dallas thing. Like mostly just because Luka can't be this good all season, right?
He looks great, he looks like he lost weight. Everyone always is talking about him when he is chunky. He looks like he lost weight. He looks good.
No, he looks amazing. I just like it's. I'm not. It's not even like a doubting Luka. I just like this level of play is insane.
Not sustainable.
I've never seen as good as he's been in his career. I don't think we've ever seen him play like this for this extended period of time.
What he did to the Clippers was just
it bad. Was. It's honestly something that, like, I'm not saying he should be convicted, but like just charges should be brought up. What he did to the Clippers, like that wasn't okay.
Yeah, that was a violent.
That was messed up. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm waiting for a shoe to drop with the Mavs to like kind of come back down to earth. But I do think they'll be a top six team.
No shoe ever drops around Kyrie Irving.
Or the Mavs. The Mavs never have any issues with anything. All right, last one. Buy or sell. The Bucks are a play-in team, not a playoff team. Jay.
I'm selling that. They're winning at an okay rate right now. Mm-hmm. The East is not super great beyond a couple of teams. They have a lot to figure out, and I think they're learning the downside of getting rid of Mike Budenholzer. I understand why they moved on from him. Some of the playoff stuff was unsettling in certain years, but he was really good. And as far as building a defensive foundation went that maximized Brooke Lopez and Giannis, I'm not sure there was anybody better at it than Budenholzer. He just did an amazing job of coaching defensive structure, and that's totally gone away. They are just despicable on defense right now, and they don't have as much talent without Drew Holiday, but I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's just the entire teaching that they're getting from the coaching staff, and maybe it's just – new team, new coaching staff, you got to get used to it. Maybe they'll hit a stride later on. But that defense so far is extremely concerning.
Josh, what happened in that Malik Beasley clip? Is that simply just like that was supposed to be a switch or he's staying in the zone or something? Like what? Like you watch that. You know
defense, yeah.
You know NBA basketball. That's just a communication issue, right?
Well, it can't just be a communication issue because like he
Didn't move.
He didn't move. Right. Even if I hear the wrong instructions, right? Like my big is yelling at me left, right, whatever it is. Well, you go into it with a plan, right? You're guarding a guy. You're like any ball screen that takes place at the top of the key, we are automatic. We would call it in OKC, we call it weak. We're setting him left. Yeah. Every single time. You just know. So we didn't even need to say if the screen was right or left. You would just know if you heard a screen coming, I know where I'm on the floor. I'm sending him to his left. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if like his brain wasn't sure where he was on the floor, so he didn't know which way to turn or what, but you would think there would have been some sort of reaction to watching the guy go by him.
That's the first time in a long time I've been able to picture myself.
We live in a simulation, man. Nothing's real.
That was baffling.
It was amazing. I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, his brain shut off for a second.
Josh, you buying or selling the Bucks as a play-in team?
I'm selling. I mean, I think just the East isn't super loaded like that. That's going to push them that far down. I think Dame being out affects them. Right now, I'm not saying they're going to finish, you know, top five, even maybe six in the conference.
Right.
But they'll hang around, especially when Dame gets back. I'm concerned defensively, right? Like Jay was saying, they're just not good defensively. And it's not like Dame coming back is going to all of a sudden bolster their defense. That's not right. Jrue Holiday was that guy. Like Jrue Holiday was the captain of their defense. The guy was a stud defensively and then knew how to share the ball, because not only are they 25th in opponent points per game, they're 29th in assists right now. And 29th in rebounds per game. With a guy that's like great. Giannis, 29th in rebounds per, like that is unacceptable. Yeah. With the size they have, you look at Jay Crowder with Portis, with Lopez, with Giannis. Like there's no reason that they should be 29th in rebounding per game. And I don't know. I think there's a lot to figure out. I don't know if it's growing pains, like Jay mentioned, from a new coach trying to fit things with some new pieces. But even with a new coach, man, you should know how to rebound.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look good.
I'm also going to sell just because I can't imagine it's going to be this all season. But I will say this. It's a lot of campaign right now. It's a lot.
Love me some Cam. That's my boy.
Look, I bet he's the best dude. But that is a lot of him playing basketball right now.
What is he shooting, 54% from three right now? He's second in the league behind Dylan Brooks.
Yeah. How many is he giving up?
That's a good question. I don't know.
His defense might be worse than that Malik Beasley clip right now. Like it's just a bucket every time they go at him. And it's just a lot of campaign. I like a sprinkling of campaign, you know? Like you throw a little garnish on a dish at the end. Like that's the amount of campaign I want. I don't want like say when on this like pepper on your salad or cheese on your pasta. Like that's too much campaign. We can't do that.
Poor Eric Name has already had to write like three the Bucks defense is a disaster.
He's writing about the Bucks defense every goddamn day.
Like 10 games. But the latest one, Giannis said, "Yeah, I wish I could go against a defense like ours." And I was like,
"Wow." Wow.
He's like, the amount of gaps we have, how easy it is to penetrate. He's like, I would love to play against the defense like ours.
I'm buying. You know what? Change my answer. I'm buying.
You changing it?
Yeah. I'm buying. They are playing too.
It's bad, man.
And look, it's
rough. Yeah.
Look, maybe there will be a benefit to changing some of that stuff, and eventually you'll get to a place where your defense is like more adaptable in playoff situations. But it's alarming.
You're going to be shocked. Cameron Payne is minus 0.9 for the year. That's all.
He must've spent a lot of time with Dame. That's the only thing I can think of.
Minus 0.9. That's it.
Also, I've forgotten how much I love at the end of a game when the Bucks are trying to, survive the foul game where they're trying to, hold the ball. I've forgotten that the ball always stops with Jay Crowder. He always wants to shoot those free throws. It doesn't matter who else is on the floor. Jay Crowder is like, yeah, give me the ball. Oh, yeah, I'll move. No, foul me. I forgot about how much I love watching Jay Crowder as a team is trying to foul to extend the game against his team. He will just watch. He will never move the ball. He will never move it. It's fantastic. That's going to do it for us. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to this very YouTube page and the podcast feed. And make sure you're subscribed to The Bounce, our free newsletter via me and Shams Charania every single morning in your inbox, theathletic.com/thebounce. For Josh, for Jay, I'm Zach. You want to keep it locked on The Athletic NBA Show podcast.